Okay, we are recording. Because, Anna, you had a great question, a lovely brag about... us Aussies are funny about bragging, aren't we? We kind of think of bragging as being not a good thing. But I've come to understand that, you know, sharing our excitement with breakthroughs and stuff. Well, I mean, just listen to what's been happening this morning. I mean, everybody learns something. We all get inspired by it. Your girl Eve, Anna, was had a very big separation anxiety, and you've made a big breakthrough with it.
Yeah. So she was a horse I got at 4 years old, and she'd never been out of the breeder's paddock, basically. So it was a whole big world out there, and we'd worked a lot with that, but we had a lot of steps. Well, she caused me a lot of frustration initially, and she came back from some time at a trainer's with huge separation anxiety and was all right just coming out of the paddock, but going any further than that, we've got a reasonable length driveway and then a laneway, and we couldn't get down the driveway. Yeah, since, well, it's listening to what people were saying before as well. So since the January clinic, and even what Sue was saying about leadership. So we worked very much just on quiet mind and trying to tune into what she was looking for. And she's really looking for leadership. I can be a bit too gentle. So I was taking a very passive, oh, if she's not okay, we'll just wait. But she actually, it's a bit tricky for me, but I had to step up and say, no, everything's okay, pay attention to me, and I'll make sure you're safe. And she could then relax and not worry about everything. So she's just been getting more and more wow. comfortable with going away and coming back, and we make it a nice experience as well. So she very much, I was always told, don't let them eat grass, but it was really wrong for her. She sort of needed that as a distraction to get comfortable, and it was a real, so we go a bit, have a munch, go a bit further, have a munch. And there was a really clear indication when she was not okay, which was that she wouldn't eat. Yeah. So like, no, this is just too much, let's go back. And yeah, no, it's just been lovely. And she's just, it's sort of affecting everything, this approach. It's just, she's back to what I thought she always could be, which is gentle and quiet and sweet and calm, and you know, we're not trailblazing 2 hours away, it's just a little walk, but she's happy and she's getting happier and just really content. So it's been lovely.
Oh, that is so cool. That is so cool. I'm so pleased for you. That was an interesting clinic, because four of the horses there had separation anxiety. It's so common, and in fact, it's so common that people think it's okay, that it's, you know, oh, it's normal. Sorry, it's not normal, yeah. Is it? It's not,
well,
a happy horse.
Well, I think they were trying to tell me something, because I think they had separation anxiety when I was with them a bit.
Sorry, say that again. I didn't quite understand it.
A few of the horses had more separation anxiety when they were with me, or at least I felt that. So they were clearly trying to tell me something.
Yeah, we had Rapunzel and Oliver stepping up, showing people exactly what they needed to get when they were working with them, because you were working with Rapunzel. And this is probably... oh, God, I'm going to cry. Strong women cry easily. Remember that, everyone. It's probably a good time to tell people that Rapunzel's my new riding horse. Because I retired Bobby this week. Happy, sad. Yeah. At the very moment that I realised I had to retire him, Rapunzel walked up to the mounting block. And she was the horse you were riding in the clinic. Excuse me, I'm just going to turn my thing off while I blow my nose so I don't blow you all out of the water. Sorry about that. Oh, goodness me. So it's the end of an era.
Yeah.
But my first ride on Rapunzel was the stuff that heaven's made of. And in every ride since, the second ride wasn't the same. I put on the webpage today, there's a link on your... there's a link to it on the call here. I put a link to the webpage. I put the first four, my diary of the first 4 days of Rapunzel's and my writing. I put that diary at the bottom of the webpage because I think it's interesting for people to see how things are mixed up, you know, like not mixed up, it's the wrong word. How a little bit of this and a little bit of this lesson and a little bit of that lesson is kind of amalgamated in a, you know, in a real situation. She's she's a lot sterner with me than she was with you, Anna. if I brace. You know, if my body braces, or if it's not quite right, she shakes her head. There's this really stern head shaking. I don't think so.
She's making you rise to the challenge, I think.
yeah, that's exactly it. She is so freaking sensitive and so responsive. The first day I wanted to just sit there, and she walked off from the mounting block, and I had to stop her, and we didn't have our stop. You know, our stop wasn't working, and I pulled a bit hard, and she gave a good head shake and said, I don't think so. So I was side passing her over to the mounting block, because this is a very well-trained horse. She's done a lot of work with Cat, and she's also featured in Fast Track with Michelle riding her, who did some beautiful work with her too. And so I picked up the reins and put a leg on to side pass her to the mounting block, and I got that head shake again, that I don't think so. So I kind of stopped, and I came back more inside myself, and I thought, wow, okay, you know, what am I supposed to do to get back to the mounting block? And then it just popped into my mind, and I just opened my ribs to the side. I didn't put a leg on her at all. I just opened my ribs, and she just glided across to the mounting block. And I got back off, and then got back on again after we'd found our comfort zone again. Wow, just open your ribs and slide off to the side.
We must spend a lot of time shouting at them rather than talking quietly when you think about how we ride.
That, my dear, is a really good way of expressing it. Yeah, I think we do spend a lot of time shouting at them. And I've got this, you know, this vision in my head of the kind of riding that I would like to experience before I have to hang my boots up. And this is, you know, I thought it was Bobby that was going to show me. And yes, he showed me the path, but as I'm sitting on Rapunzel, I can feel it happening underneath me, which is really weird. And I can also feel Bobby like a maestro conductor. controlling the lessons. So it's not like he's completely abdicated, but it is sad to think that I've sat on him for the last time. It's not that he's not rideable at his age, he is, but he's not okay with my on-again-off-again training that seems to be happening because I get tied up with work and then don't ride for a few weeks. And then at his age, the combination of his age, because he's rising 25, and my weight, the combination of those two things, you just can't, you've got to keep their back strong or give it up. And that on again, off again training, I build him up each time. Each time I've been building his back up again. But even so, it's just not right. And Rapunzel's got a beautiful double back. She's incredibly strong. And it's like she sneezes at my weight. It's like, peh. So that's good. So you had a question. And the interesting thing was, I asked people to send their questions in ahead of time, and I've had so many things happening in the last couple of days, I hadn't actually answered the question, but I'm going to read it out and then we'll chat about it because it's a really interesting one. She said, so you said, I look at the photo of Hannah, that's Hannah Rivard in the Fast Track photo. And there are just sometimes, very sometimes, when I can get deep connection whilst riding. Even I seem to understand each other more whilst lunging, and I think it's because I've worked out how to get Eve interested enough in me to allow herself into focusing on me. But I don't know how to be that gentle, fair leader whilst riding, how to get attention back on me when the connection is lost when I'm riding. For Eve and I, the steering is actually getting better, but the hardest thing is how to get that deep level of happiness with each other whilst I'm on her and asking for connection. So I think my question is not necessarily around the physical things, although they're important, but how do you get that emotional connection whilst riding? And you said that the only trouble is, I think you'll say, to go into a quiet mind. But it would be interesting to talk about. Yes, that's the goal of all of us, isn't it? That deep connection. I wonder, I think the lesson today is actually going to help you a bit. Mm-hmm. The actual lesson and that we're all going to do after we've watched the video and talked about it. But the emotional side of it, I think your timing of asking this question, when I've just sitting on Rapunzel this week for the first time, I've sat on her before, but I've never ridden her before. So we're kind of working through our whole communication at the moment. So if I just describe what I've done with her, I think it might help a little bit. If I go to get on her and I'm not present, she's not prepared to come to the mounting block. So I have to take my attention inside. You know, you said earlier about shouting at them. I remember Bobby saying to me because it was Bobby who showed me how to be present, literally stepped me into it in a conversation and in a clinic, I might add, with someone else. I was in a clinic with Tricia Wren, and he wanted me to hold that attention inside myself, that awareness of what was going on inside me while I was doing stuff with him. And I remember standing there in the clinic going to myself, crazy lady, standing there in the clinic saying to myself, well, how can you, I can't do that. That's too many things at once. I can't hold that amount of awareness and, you know, and still do the exercises that Tricia wants us to do. But I remember when I first, and now it's easy. You know, it's got easier. The more you practice, it's one of those really well worth practicing things, because the more you practice it, the easier it gets. Some people make breakthroughs into it really easily. I had to practice it for it to come for me. And I remember when I first did it, Bobby actually sighed. And I heard him say in really clear words in my head, "Oh, thank God I don't have to shout at you anymore." So Rapunzel is like, you know, the superficial awareness that I have been riding with all the time, or superficial is perhaps not the right word, because that makes it sound like it's not, you know, not good. It is, you know, it's been fine. But she's actually looking for more depth straight away. So I'm standing on the mounting block, take my attention inside, get my awareness really flowing. I can feel the energy flowing between her and me. And she comes to the mounting block, just slides up and lines up and ready for me to get on. And then if I lose that when I get on, we're both overweight. Rapunzel's very overweight too at the moment. And the saddle's got a bit of a tendency to roll, not roll off, but it's a bit of a disconcerting feel, and I have to put a lot of push onto the other side of the saddle to make sure that my weight's being well balanced as I step into the stirrup. And if I get a little, and at first, when I was first getting on, I found that a little disconcerting, and I would have to get back off again in order to get back to that connected feeling, because it would cost me my connected feeling.
Mm.
So I'd get back off and wait and find it again and then get back on. And the first couple of rides, the first two or three rides, I think, the first one, I think I got off about four or five times. So it was on again and off again, on again and off again, because I just knew that beautiful energy between us, I wanted to hold it, I wasn't prepared to push forwards, not in it. And it's kind of, I've just said something really big, haven't I? I can feel the energy. I can feel the energy around that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I can, it's not that I'm keeping it all the time. I'm a rider, and at my age, and, you know, I'm so not athletic at the moment. I'm back to walking a little bit and running a little bit, but still, you know, nowhere near as athletic as I used to be. And so when things like, I really need a horse to stop when I want them to stop. I've always been a big stopper. My horses have always been excellent halters. And for me, that's where my confidence comes from, that I can stop as easily as I can go. And in my head, that's always been really important to me. Look, other people are perfectly fine at getting on a horse and letting it flow. I remember Sue from the bush on the call today, going home from a clinic and throwing a bridle away, and Oz galloping around the paddock at high speed with a whole herd of horses. Oh, no, 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 that would not have been me in a pink hysterical fit. Different people.
Yeah.
But stop to me was really important. And when I went to stop, our communication for stop wasn't there. Now, Rapunzel knows how to stop. She did those fast track lessons with all those stunningly beautiful stops with Michelle, just like opening her energy up and flowing backwards. And, you know, Bobby stops on a, Bobby, will, he's a thoroughbred, but he'll slide stop. I got his stops really good. And he'll slide stop, he'll dance to a stop, he'll flow to a stop and through the stop into the backup. But there was no communication between Rapunzel and I. And I went straight into not my oh shit zone, but way out into the not too sure zone, and lost that connection. So I had to figure out how to get it back. So I took steps backwards through what we were doing until I found it again. And then sat there. I think one time I might have had to come all the way back to the mounting block and got off and thought, oh, okay, let's do a little bit of stop on the ground and see, you know, if we can get this communication happening better. But it turned out what was happening, and when I got to the bottom of it, it turned out that what was happening was that I was tensing up when she didn't stop. I was bracing, and then her body was bracing, and then she couldn't stop. But do you get my do you get the feel for the answer here, which is not the techniques but the practical thing of dropping back to the step before where there was the connection all the way to getting off if you have to
get it
and then get back on again?
No, what you said, particularly about layers of connection, because it was interesting. One of the things I said in my email is that usually when you ask the question, you find the answer. So yesterday I hopped on Eve. And, yeah, she's been lining up at the mounting block when she's wanted to, and that's been awesome. But like you said originally, there was layers of connection, and initially you couldn't hold the connection. And I think that's been part of it is – I can hold it and then I'll lose it. And so she'll get distracted and go grazing and I can't get it back. But this time we rode and she lined up at the mounting block and she just was happy with me on there and she was listening and pay attention and we did some turns and some moves and she held it and it was awesome. And I realised that part of that is because I'm getting better at holding. And what you said about two things, having confidence because and not pushing through it. So the two things, like I had to get my comfort level up that she wasn't going to do anything and that I could be confident with what we were doing. But then also I had a tendency to just fight a little bit through when it wasn't quite right. I'd be like, no, it's okay. We can. But it was actually, you need to back off. And so getting more respectful of, it's better to listen when it's not going right and go back and find that comfort than it is to think that you can fight and get it back again. It's not going to happen with fighting. That's the exact opposite of what you want. So that sits really well. Yeah.
High five, Anna.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was so proud of her yesterday.
That's gorgeous. That's absolutely gorgeous. Okay. I had some other breakthroughs on my mind, but I can't even think of them now. I think we'll go on into the video lesson.
Can I ask what?
Sure.
Well, how Bobby told you that he didn't want to be ridden anymore?
Well, I hear him. I hear him really clearly. We had a ride together that was just beautiful. It was very short. I was on him for 2 minutes and then I'd get off because I could feel he wasn't lifting up his back as high as he had been. And yet his stride was soft and rhythmic, and he just felt wonderful. He was engaged and we were engaged together, connected and feeling really lovely. And then I saw some video footage of it the next day and went, holy shit.
Mm.
And then I came back out and stood with him and went, what's going on, sunshine?
Mm-hmm.
And just realised that was his. And I also remembered that he'd been telling me for ages. In fact, it's probably Steve will probably remember me talking to him a couple of years ago and saying, "Bobby's telling me I've got to keep the work up to his back." So it's going to be interesting. I was walking yesterday evening and got a pain in my left knee, absolutely out of the blue, and I was like, "Where the heck did that come from?" Because I haven't ever had any trouble with my left knee, and it was Bobby. So, and as soon as I got that it was Bobby, the pain went. And I realise I've been doing his body work by riding. You know, because every opportunity we have to release, that we take to release something, when we're either getting ready for riding or riding, is actually having a physical benefit to them. And his arthritis had gone backwards as in reversing the arthritis, so much that the feet trimmer said, wow, this is the best he's been picking his feet up in ever since I've been doing him. And now that he's not being ridden, I'm going to have to do some body work on him, was the message I got yesterday. So he's going to have him body work instead of riding.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the pain went away. Yes. Okay. Anna, this would be nice if you're up for it. Stay with me while we open up the video. So if you click on, for everybody, there's in that welcome to the event at the top of the page, at the top right hand side, there's a thing called call handouts and links. If you click on there, it says click here to watch this video during class. It's just nice to have someone else to talk to while I'm talking. And I think it's more interesting for everybody else than just having my voice. So open up that web page and slide down. Look at that photo. That photo of Bobby is him galloping down to the new paddock. It was either the day after I retired him or the day after that. He doesn't look much like an old has-been, does he? I'm glad I had such a lovely photo. Okay, go down to the video. So this partly answers your question. And this video partly answers your question, because it's about turning effectively, about how not to disconnect from your horse physically while turning. And I've talked about overriding before, and this is another example where in this you'll see another example of what I call overriding, which is when we disconnect from our horse and it confuses communication. And when we can use our turns as a beautiful opportunity to help our horse to heal while we're riding. So this is a video of Christina, and you'll hear her talking about her sore knee. So this is obviously early in the piece when she just not long come to us before she healed her arthritis. So hit the play button and we'll watch it together. I'm going to turn that down. Imagine what that's like to the horse. Should have been turning her feet anyway. That's the big deal there, folks. Okay, hit the pause button, otherwise you YouTube's going to bring up the next YouTube. So, Anna, this is why I kept you on the line to chat about this, because it's kind of what you were talking about. It's the physical aspect of what you were talking about in terms of losing connection, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And that the balance between being gentle but being connected enough to hold, that really was something I could really feel from the video.
Yeah. The thing I want people to really, really get is if you could all just, I asked you to bring chairs that you could sit in and do a seat lesson. If you could all sit and either just have your hands on the back of the chair if you're facing the back of the chair, or actually I'll give you a moment to turn the chair around and face the back of the chair, or to take yourself up to the desk and gently hold in roughly rein height. And just smile a little bit and allow your body to flow, allow your pelvis to flow into that effortlessly powerful seat. Notice any unevennesses, any unevenness from one side to the other. Are both sitting bones the same? We don't have to fix all of this today. You've got lessons in Fast Track to do that. And the key to fixing these things is not to try to fix it. If you start evening up your seat bones on purpose, you're going to be evening up your seat bones forever. You'll be doing it next time and the time after and the time after that. And the next time you get on your horse, you'll be having to do it again and again and again, reorganizing your body. The key to what we do here is cleaning up what's behind the seat bones being uneven or the not owning our own elbows or, you know, allowing our body to go weak or whatever. Okay, so the key is to just notice it and open up to the understanding. And it'll either happen in this lesson or it'll happen some other time. Just smile and get on with your day, having decided to understand what's behind any unevenness in your riding seat or in your seat bones today. Okay. So now, because we've got some new people and I'm not sure what lessons everybody's up to, I'm just going to give a little bit more information than I might have done otherwise. So as you go, you've got eyes on, you've got your normal eyes, you've got eyes on the front of your shoulders, eyes on the front of your hips, eyes on the front of your knees, eyes on the front of your toes, and you turn all your eyes in the direction that you want to go when you're riding a horse. And that takes away, if we take the toes out, actually take the toes out, that can confuse things. So you've got eyes from your head down to your knees. So as you go to turn to the left, this is a technique. Okay, no, it's all right. As you go to turn to the left, turn all your eyes to the left and just go as far as this horse will let you go. Come back to center again. Allow your tailbone to soften a little closer to the ground and then turn all the eyes to the left. Wow, feel how much more powerful that feels straight away. Why is that so? That is so because as you allowed your tailbone to slide closer to the ground, you're softening your back, and that is a signal to your horse that something is about to change. It's like, gather up, kiddo. We're about to do something. It's you could even consider it's a half halt, the beginning of a half halt. There are some half people who that would be a half halt. So as you turn your chair horse today, is probably pretty stiff. A little bit of lightness of spirit there. So keep turning and feel what it feels like to keep turning. I don't know. I just felt somebody almost feel sick at keeping turning. Was that you, Anna?
No.
No, no, somebody just went, whoa, that feels horrible. So come back to center again. Slide the tailbone down. Warn your horse you're about to do something different. Start turning to the left. And when you get to that blockage, to that place where that horse can't turn anymore, depending on how fast you got there, you might need to melt off it. So just melt off your whole body just with a thought. If you melt off it too far, you're kind of going to drop your horse. And if you push too far, you'll actually feel your seat starting to disconnect. But right in the middle there, right on the edge of that horse not being able to turn any further to the left, right on the edge there, you'll actually start feeling a little bit of something. Some people will feel tingly energy. Some people will feel kind of a sponginess in their body. A deep sense of rightness. Somebody, or maybe even more than somebody, just notice the tension in your body and back off until that tension goes away. And then come in again. When you're ready, turn to the left again when you're ready. Tension, back off. There is no tension in a deep and glorious connection between horse and rider. Every time you feel that tension in your body, melt off again. And come back to the turn. So for this horse, the one who's feeling the tension, the one whose rider is feeling tension as you come up, you might back off and wait for the, as you melt off, you might, if you were doing this with your horse, in reality with your horse, you might back off and actually stop and wait for the chew rather than looking for that energy place. You might wait for the chew first. There's many different techniques that you can use to keep your physical connection with your horse. And what you would be doing in that instance is you would be cleaning up whatever or expanding your understanding, and then that would clean up the tension permanently. You'd be expanding your understanding of what was behind the tension. And that's the enormous thing that we do here differently than everybody else. We don't just correct riding position, and we clean up what's behind the tensions and behind the resistances and behind the problem in the first place. And then it's permanent. So back to turning to the left again. Find that place where I call it the energy runs. Let me open up some other people and find out how you experience. Oops, there's that tension again. Drop, melt off it. I'm going to open up and say, who is this? Okay. Who's got a very strong physical feel? Who's got a? I just want to know the different ways that people, that other people experience that sense of rightness when you're in exactly the right spot. Oh, that tension is a physical feel person. So you're feeling what's not right when you're feeling the tension. So in what way are you feeling the rightness? Okay, is that someone on the live call? Let me open everybody up and find out. Say yes if that's you feeling the tension in a turn.
I'm feeling tension, Jenny. It's Johanna.
Ah, okay.
I'm actually feeling slightly nauseous as we were doing that, and I tried that just coming back, stopping to turn, coming back, and I'm still not feeling right.
Okay, fantastic. Oh, goody. Well, the gift of this Joanna is the gift to everybody else who's got strong physical feel.
Well, I never thought I did have a strong physical feel, though. But hey, I'll take
it. Well, not only that, even if you didn't have a strong physical feel, clearly it's developing strength.
Ooh.
And that's what happens. When you work from your own unique sense of feel, then you gradually expand into the other five feels, into all of them. And it just happens real sweet and easy. Oh, like it clearly is for you at the moment. So just take your attention inside. I've turned everybody else, the background noise off for everybody else. Now, as always, just press star 7 to talk or press star 2 to raise your hand. So as you start to turn, Joanna, am I pronouncing your name right this time?
Yeah, it's great. It's getting better.
Because you're Finnish, aren't you? Say it for me clearly, because I like to pronounce people's names properly.
Right. Once you pronounce it in a very Finnish, proper, truly Finnish way, then it's Johanna.
Johanna.
The emphasis in the second bit in the H-A, Johanna.
Johanna. Cool. I'll see if I can remember to do that after thinking of you as Joanna forever.
Oh, believe me, Jenny, I'm well used to it.
Johanna has a Scottish accent, but she's actually Finnish.
Do I have a Scottish accent?
You certainly do.
Wow. Oh, hi.
It's not a very broad Scottish accent, but it's definitely got hints of Scottish accent in it.
Yes, I have
very
lived
cute.
In Scotland for 20 years or so, so probably picking
them
up.
Mm. Okay, so now you've that little bit of conversation, you'll notice, has changed the tension in your body. There was a little bit too much. Yeah, there's a little bit too much trying too hard going on.
Story of my life.
Oh, okay. So this will be another gift to a whole bunch of other people on the call, because so many of us try too hard. Just decide to understand what's behind this trying too hard stuff. Wouldn't it be nice to clear that up?
Mm.
So as you're feeling inside yourself, does it feel good to decide to notice what's behind you trying too hard?
Yeah, I'm feeling my heart open up.
Lovely. And everybody take their attention inside with a breath, with the lower part of the ribs, the awareness of the lower part of the ribs and the breathing, or your heartbeat, or noticing your energy, or feeling the emotions, or allowing the thoughts and ideas to flow, and decide to notice what's behind trying too hard. That trying too hard manifests in so many different ways, doesn't it? It shows up in so many different ways. It's actually what behind what I call overriding It's literally trying too hard. Pushing a horse is trying too hard. Pushing a horse beyond what they can do with us, with connection in the moment, is just trying too hard, isn't it? Wow, this lesson's going nowhere near where I thought it was going when I first put it up.
I think I know now what's behind it, Jenny.
And there's no need to share that unless you feel particularly drawn to, sweetheart.
If you remember in Happiness Program, I told you that long story about how I had my first pony that was very, very green, and I was very young and green, and my totally non-horsey but well-meaning parents got me that pony, and, you know, I just couldn't cope, and I kept falling off. And I told you this story when my dad said to me that a friend of his daughter is, you know, so kind of feisty and spirited that when she falls off the horse, she just, you know, jumps back on in and whacks it with the whip and, you know, what have you. And then I felt that I have to be like that other girl to be accepted by my father, which then kind of got me completely off the track from who I am, really.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. I'm still trying to please my father.
a slightly different aspect of it this time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thank you for sharing that, sweetheart, because it's brought up an important point for people. For people to know, or at least I think it's an important point for people to know. We can deal with an issue. You dealt with that superbly in the Happiness Program. Your heart just expanded and you were completely euphoric. It was one of your laughing and crying at the same time, aha moments. And yet there was this slightly different slant to it where it was affecting another area. And as that understanding has expanded, that layer's gone too.
I feel really quite enormous energy at the moment in my body.
Soak that up, sunshine. Soak that up. Okay. Just take your attention, everybody who's ready, just turn to the left again, just to that place where this horse can't turn to the left any further. And find that place of rightness that's right on the edge. This is the place where, wow, I've never thought of it like this before, but this is the place where real communication happens. Where there's kind of like a deep, deep connection between horse and rider. Now, if there's anybody who's not finding this edge, the edge of this turn, then get in contact with me later. It won't be through any fault of yours. If you're on live, put your hand up, which is press star 2. And if you're on webcast, email me later. And in fact, I'm kind of thinking that just by acknowledging that, that's just about solved it. Notice how now your tailbone can slide closer to the ground.
I almost feel that I can just keep turning now and I don't come to the resistance.
Yeah, that's when your hip joints are so free and so open. That's exactly what happens. When I have people on magic, Joanna, they find that place and it's like magic starts spinning. Only it's a barrel on four metal legs. But it's like the energy just keeps going and going and going to the left, and you can almost feel this spinning. Well, I did this on Rapunzel, was it yesterday? And the ride before, we did it again yesterday as well, but yesterday's focus was more on stopping, on fixing our stopping connection together. But it was a ride before. I could feel pirouette was going to be a piece of cake.
It's amazing you say that, Jenny. I'm crying now because Jensen came underneath me and we're just doing an amazing canter pirouette. You were speaking and telling that.
Oh my God, you've manifested a canter pirouette together. Johanna is a classical dressage rider. Oh, how gorgeous is that? Yeah. I felt this when my hip opened like that. Rapunzel just, I remember she just whooshed, her front end just whooshed around like it just floated around. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Just pivoting in this glorious feeling way. And I felt like canter pirouette was just going to be a piece of cake. If I had no when I have no resistance in my own body and no overriding and I just have my hip joint open and her, we'd actually done some meter melting for her on the turn, except it was probably for me and my hip joint as much as it was for her. Who knows? It doesn't matter whether we're fixing our own stuff or the horse, whether we're fixing a brace in our own body or a brace in the horse or a resistance in us or a resistance in the horse. It doesn't matter whether it's ours or theirs. We fix it in our bodies and boom, it just flows. And this is when... you've all often heard me talk about being able to heal your horse while you ride, and this is one of those ways in which you heal your horse while you ride.
It's amazing you would say that too, Jenny, because remember we were talking about my problem with the right canter lead, and just a little while ago there, Jensen wanted me to come to straight from that left canter pirouette. And then he did a flying change into the right canter, and now we're cantering right.
Was this in your imagination just then?
It just happened just here. Ooh. As you were talking mm-hmm. about that.
Mm-hmm. So?
And he invited me to do that. It wasn't my idea.
Wow. Oh, wow. So we might even make that a subject for the next live seminar, how to, you know, candleed problems are just so common. And yet if you get your meter melt to the left and your meter melt to the right happening on autopilot, it's going to make candleeds a stack easier. Okay. Wow. So nobody else has put their hand up. Let me just check the chat room and see. The first thing I see is Corey saying, I wanted to mention that these techniques for turning and everything else, by the way, work equally well when working from the ground. Yes. Yep, they do. Carolyn's talking about discovered that having her hands wider was working wider apart was what feels best for her. That's interesting, Carolyn, because when I was having trouble with backup, I need to rephrase that because I'm not having trouble with backup and Rapunzel is sure as hell not having trouble with backup. What we're having trouble with is our communication about backup together. She knows how to backup. I know how to backup. But we're not both using exactly the same signals. So we're just having to explore it differently to kind of, you know, find a place where both of us are communicating backup well. And I have to widen my hands when I'm backing up. So when I'm coming into a stop and wanting a backup, I actually widening my hands. And Corey saying, yikes, decide to notice what's behind trying too hard. Now that's a goodie. My immediate aha was that I'm too attached to a certain outcome rather than flowing with what is being given in the present moment. Ooh. Oh, there's lots of lovely things happening in the chat. Feel free to go through. And look at that. Katie, I also felt physical tension in that exercise that also surprised me. And for Liz, it helped her to close her eyes. Please don't ride with your eyes closed, though, will you? Sorry, that was a bad Aussie humour. Katie, let me just open you up. Thank you for that, Joanna. That was sharing that you were not okay with that was just wonderful for everybody else. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jenny. That's amazing because, you know, I've had trouble with that tension in my back. It was in my back mainly. And, like, every time I do that, I've done that riding seat lesson. Remember, I've said I've done it over and over and over again, and I just always tend to have that tension in my back, and I think that just helped to release it. So thank you.
You're welcome. It's to work in an amplified field is beautiful. It's
yes. Thank you, everyone.
Katie, you said in the chat room that you were experiencing some tension in that.
You know what keeps coming up for me, and it has for a long time for whatever reason, is really allowing the melt and meet, like really getting that on a deep level. Like I get it in my head, I get the concept, but I tend to, when you say melt and meet, I tend to come back to the front, okay, with this exercise. So I go to the left and then I feel that, and then it's like, is it you stay there and, like a yoga position, kind of breathe yourself into it and soften there, or do you release and come back to the front or the beginning again, that particular exercise, when you say melt and meet? What exactly?
Okay. So right now you're looking towards the front. And now, ever so slowly, incredibly slowly, if I was watching you, I wouldn't even see you move.
Oh.
You're going that slowly, right? Start turning to the left, all of your eyes, and find the place where this poor, stiff horse can't move any further.
Right.
Now, just with a thought, think that there's a border between the stuck spot. You're not actually going to turn back to the front, but there's a border right there on the stuck spot that feels like you're not actually pushing into the stuck spot, but you're right beside it.
Right. And you just sit with it?
Yeah. Now just sit with it. Keep feeling inside yourself and just decide to feel the beautiful energy that I'm talking about. Decide to feel that beautiful energy that's just bordering the stuck spot. There, you've got it.
Really?
Feel all that tingling?
No.
Okay, I've got tingling happening like crazy. Well, your question has somebody else has just made a breakthrough, but that's okay. Yeah. We're working with a whole heap of people at the same time here.
That's good for everyone to.
Yeah. Yeah,
sorry.
Katie
I'm
would
trying
like it too.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to get into it. It's like, okay, that's good.
That's good for you. Now, what about me?
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, there's the lightness of spirit. That was actually the answer, Katie.
Yeah, that's right.
So now go take with that. Feel this lightness of spirit kind of flowing in you. Yeah, notice your shoulders have come down as you're soaking that up a bit, soaking up the laughter.
Mm.
Now take all your eyes slowly to the left and find the edge.
I think I moved too fast. I'm like a robot. I think I just move there and, oh, there it is. Let's just stop. It's stuck. I just noticed
okay.
that. It's like,
come back to the center, because what you're doing, this is perfect, because what you're doing is you're noticing what's going on.
Yes, that's right.
And you're probably turning too fast for your horse too.
Mm.
Oh, my God, there goes the goosebumps.
Yes. Yes.
Because,
yes.
Oh. I remember a very early clinic here at Rokeby where Michelle had her Bobby here, and he showed her this vision of like a movie on fast forward in her head, and he said that's what it's like. That's what it's like when you're trying to teach me stuff. So I'm fast forward. It doesn't go slow enough for me to actually learn and feel the connection.
It's a lot slower.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I don't know why that's so fascinating, really, but it seems to be.
It's because it's the... You know, because we're always working on what's behind an issue. And that's what's behind your problem.
Oh, sorry, I meant it seems so simple, the slowing down concept, like really slowing down. And I see that. I feel like Cheyenne's going, hallelujah, in the background, and the hooves are all happy about that. She's like, oh, my God. It's just so you're having a little happy party there. But it's like, yes, just slow right down. Like, what the hell happened?
Well,
track, all right.
this is the point. This is the point, Katie, that I make all the time. You can have someone intellectually telling you to slow down. It's like everything. You know, we can have people telling us good stuff, good information, but until we feel it in ourselves, it ain't really there.
Isn't this exactly like eating beautiful, nutritious food, whatever that is for you, and not having the gastric juices to break it down and assimilate the food in the body? Sorry, the physiological side, but it just kind of...
Oh, that's interesting.
You have all that goodness there and it's not accessible until the cells can take it up. I don't know why I said that. But anyway, it just meant something to me in that other way. It's that same thing. It's like hearing it, and then like... And even doing it then, I still, you know, it was just like... And then when you said, do it really slow that you can hardly... I can hardly see you move, it was like, ah, okay. Like I... It... Because any conventional writing that I've learned, it's not... It's everything but that. It's so strong and big and fast and, you know, it's robotic and, well, feel as lucky if you get it somewhere. you'd know what I mean. So this is really taking it to a much deeper level. But then again, everything flows. I can see and feel that everything would just flow so much better once you are like that. It's the total opposite. We do all that fast stuff to think we're going to get a better result or a more efficient, effective way of doing something. It's contraindicating exactly what we're trying to do when you think about it.
Yeah.
So is it always slow? Is everything slow all the time, or is that just when you first start that process?
Well, the interesting thing is that the more present you are, the slower it feels.
Yes. My husband gets that when he's shooting. He says everything just stands still when he's in the zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So it's not really like you're not really... Really slow. You just feel like you are, because the results are effective. It's not slow then, as such. It's actually faster, probably. Or if you get any, if you're too busy pulling the horse's mouth around, that's not really a good result anyway. Slow. Slow is fast.
There was some goosebumps in there too, and for more than you, I think.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, we're taught all us about mind the French, eh? I mean, we're all, you know, you go faster, you get further and all this. It's actually completely butt around. It's all backwards. I know that with nursing, you know. It's, you lose the whole depth and concept of why you're even doing what you're doing by going like a little ass by, so... Which is interesting.
It's really interesting because even as you're talking, I can feel everything slowing down for a whole heap of people.
Oh, beautiful. That's so precious. Isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah, so thanks for that.
Thank you.
We are, I'm going to go back to the chat room. Stay with me, Katie, while I go back to the chat room. Caroline said she asked her husband to lead the horse while she had her eyes closed once, and he led the horse under a tree. It nearly took me out. Now, I'd have a real trust issue with someone who pulled a stunt like that.
Yeah, me too, I think. I'll go right off my
nut. I don't think I'd want to shut my eyes again. Corey said it was her that was tinkling. Talk about layers and layers. Slow allows one to feel the microscopic movements, the isometric movements in your body. Yes, you're right. It increases your body awareness to go slower. And once you feel just how much is going on in your body whilst slowly moving, you realise why your horse is able to pick up what you want faster by your going slower. That's perfectly expressed, Corey. And a great place to finish the lesson, unless everybody else is, unless I'll just check anybody else has got any questions, because this is, I don't think this is coincidence. It's going to make those of you who are really body aware laugh like crazy. I'm able to ride cheerfully, run cheerfully, stand up for 3 solid hours yesterday giving a lesson where I forgot to take a chair yesterday, day before. And yet sitting, I'm at the end of my ability to sit. And in fact, it kind of came to the end of it about an hour ago. And I've been getting more and more uncomfortable. So we'll just check and see if anybody else has got any questions. And we'll finish up for this month. Fabulous to hear everybody's voices. And oh, cool. Trish has put up her Equestrian Aquatics link in the chat, in the chat room. Okay, so let's go back to the control panel.
How is your healing going, Jenny?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's fabulous.
Did you want any from us while we're all together?
Oh, what a sweet idea. Thank you.
I'm sure everyone would want to.
Actually, why don't we all do some for each other? Oh, that, oh gosh, that sends goosebumps over me. Yeah.
Because we've got a powerful energy going, so I'm sure.
Yeah. And Lois's husband is dying.
Oh.
So let's include her and her family as well.
For a soft, gentle transition.
Yeah, for a sweet one.
For all involved.
Yeah. Lois is doing really well, bless her.
Good. She's got a lot of support, see?
Yeah.
But it doesn't hurt to top it up consciously now and then, does it, as a group?
No, that's right. Feel the expansion of that energy.
Mm. We're a powerful little group we are, in quotation.
Oh, we sure are. You know, I just shake my head at how blessed I feel. You know, the horses who've brought us all this stuff and the people who've brought us all this stuff.
And the stuff that's brought us all the stuff.
Yeah.
We'll love that stuff. We'll love that contrast.
Oh, yeah, even the crappy stuff that brings us, the contrast that brings us. That next beautiful experience. Gosh, with everybody working like this, I can feel this energy is like vibrating through me like crazy.
Now, don't go overdoing it and doing a 5-kilometre jog this afternoon, Jenny.
No, I'm going to shout myself brunch at a nice cafe in town.
Nice.
When I finish putting stuff up on the website, and then I'm going to watch Melissa and Bree do their very first archery competition.
Oh, beautiful. Must be getting cooler down there.
Well, the autumn light came through last week for the first time. You know, there's a there's an unusual light in autumn in this area of Australia. You can kind of, it's quite distinct. There's no doubt whatsoever when autumn starts, because
we get a warning for a cyclone up north.
Yeah, I noticed that. I thought cyclone season would have been finished.
I know. But, you know, Mother Nature, she does her thing when she wants to do her thing.
Mm.
Getting the last bit in before winter.
See, even as we talk about Mother Nature, I can feel that energy kind of roaring into the earth.
Mm.
Feeling a really close connection to the earth as well.
I love doing that, where I visualise roots coming from my feet and going straight into the earth really, really deep, and giving that really amazing connected earthing feeling. I do that often. It's beautiful.
Well, that gave me goosebumps.
Thank you, everybody. Hope everyone felt something.
Thanks, everybody. Corey says she thinks this replay should have several starts and drum rolls about it. several stars and drum rolls about it. You like this one, Corey? That's good. Okie dokie. Let's open up and say goodbye to everybody.
Thank you, Jenny. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, you're all open. What a wonderful seminar for everybody today. Thanks for all your participation. Oh, love you all to bits. Bye.
Thank you, Jenny. Bye. Thanks, everyone.
Bye, bye, bye.
Thank you, Jenny.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference.